Show. The Matt and Beth Show.
Beth Show. This is episode
50. Yay!
All the other episodes are at themattandbethshow.com.
So, like 4 years ago when the eclipse was, when was that 4 years ago?
No, I think it was 2017.
Okay, so 2017, the eclipse of 2017. Then we have the partial eclipse of 2024. 2017, I remember being outside at an elementary school with one of my daughters.
Oh.
And the glasses on, the whole school was outside and we were watching the eclipse. And I don't know if that's because it was a total eclipse, but this year, when we don't have another one coming for like
400 years or something,
billion years,
they kept them all inside.
They kept everybody away from the eclipse. Like, what was wrong? What was the difference between this eclipse? And we couldn't find glasses anywhere.
You couldn't?
No.
I tried on Amazon and they were like, we can get them there Tuesday. I'm like, Amazon. That's about 399 years, 364 days early. Zero help to me.
Logistics.
Yeah, I don't know. The only thing I could think of is that it was a logistical nightmare. Like I was talking to my friend Randy, who used to teach, and it was like a super stressful day.
Yeah.
Like getting kids out at the right time. I mean, you could imagine school of hundreds of kids, especially when they're little, making sure they have their glasses on. And I mean, I read that you could burn your retina in less than a minute of looking at the sun.
Well, you're not going to be able to look at the sun for a minute.
That's the issue.
For half a second, pull away.
But if enough of it gets covered up, then you feel like you, because you don't feel the pain.
Right.
So if enough of it gets covered up, then you just look at it longer because it's not, you don't feel the burn.
Yeah, I get that.
Is what they say. I don't know. So, I mean, could you imagine trying to keep these little kindergartners keeping their little glasses
on? I'll tell you why I can, because 2017 happened.
And
we were there with the entire school.
I'm not saying they shouldn't.
But what I'm wondering is this, is if anything went down, like if kids went home and they're like, I can't see anymore, Mom.
Oh,
you know what I mean? And then so.
Is there a reason?
Was LPS like sued by parents that didn't want their kids to be looking at the sun?
Yeah.
Because it was the whole school. It was a day that kids got to go outside and we all sat there with the glasses on and we looked up at the sun. Teacher was out there. It was like everybody was out on the field. And this wasn't like back when I was in school in 88. This is like 2017. So I just don't know what happened. And everybody's like, hey, probably because of the sun. I'm like, I get it. We're not supposed to look at the sun, but that's why we have these glasses. Where are the glasses? Nobody's got any glasses. What happened? Like, are we like an eclipse country now? I'm like,
eclipses are canceled.
Right.
Well, that's not true. Like, I know people that were like driving to
different
Arkansas
places,
and Texas, like to get a good, you know, a good seat. I don't know. Was this one more intense? Like, was this one somehow more dangerous on the eyes?
Because it wasn't a full eclipse, so maybe more of the sun was still showing.
Well, it was a full eclipse, but we were not in the full,
in the
path of totality, right?
Okay.
I didn't even know it was happening until I got an email about it last week. So, no
until
wonder
I was outside.
Amazon couldn't get me glasses in time. They're like, billions of people have been asking this question for like, I don't know, 7 years. So did you see it?
See what? So I want to read this quote, and I think it's a little bit ridiculous. So if you followed any of the basketball tournaments that were going on, so funny because I'm seeing quotes that are like, oh, by the way, boys, you can also play basketball. Like, tell little boys they can watch men play basketball too.
Because the girls' basketball, the ratings have like surpassed
like everything.
Big NBA games.
5 million. They went through, I think there were 5 college football games this past season that were more viewed. Think of that. 5 out of all of the college football games that were watched throughout the entire season, 5 of them were over what happened with the championship game, the women's NCAA championship game. I got into it so much more. I got in both of them. Just watching these athletes play and the amount of effort they put into it is so much different than the NBA. These dudes are throwing their bodies on the floor and you can hear like their elbows and their knees just slam against the hardwood. Woo! That was intense and so cool to watch. But then you get these figures and they make storylines out of them. Of course, Caitlin Clark, I remember the game, watching her for the first game I watched. The team she was playing, and it was like a Big Ten team, scored 61 points She scored, no, let me take that back. They scored 60. She scored 61. So they beat them like 108 to 60. She scored more points than their entire team. She had 61 in a game. And then obviously I'm just like, who is this? So I start studying Caitlin Clark nonstop. Yeah. And so number one, the pressure that she's got to feel or not feel, she can turn it off, which is impressive. But everybody critiquing and constantly just, that's one side of it. Talking trash. But I think there's something inside of us when we talk trash, that's our own insecurities. You know, yeah. If we really want to look at ourselves, which that's what I'm doing, because I don't like the way that I was feeling. If I start feeling that way about her, yeah, maybe she shouldn't be swearing on the court. Maybe she shouldn't be screaming profanities, but nobody's perfect. What have you done perfect? You know, if somebody screws up, then what? We just have to sit and we have to judge constantly. Like I tell my girls, I'm like, why are we doing this? Why can't we find the good in what she's done? Because there's a lot of good.
Right. Well, was it UConn? Who did they play in the finals?
UConn, yeah.
UConn. And then did you see the interview with the coach afterwards? Like the coach is getting interviewed, like confetti is flying and they're all celebrating. Like they just won the national championship and their coach like stopped and thanked her. Thanked Caitlin Clark, who played for a different team, who she just stopped and said, hey, I just want to say thank you for what you've done for this sport.
That's so cool.
I'm like, that's real sportsmanship there. Like you are winning. This is your moment. Yes. But to acknowledge you've done something for the sport I love,
right,
even though you made our, you know,
team law.
You know, like they won. They were celebrating.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was, you know, she didn't have to tip her hat to Caitlin, but she did. So
right. To see both
to
sides.
To be able to acknowledge, we're in this together, this sport, we're building this sport together. Doesn't matter that we're opposing teams.
Don't you think, and I don't know if it's biblical, but do we kind of want to be in that place of celebrating other victories, correct?
Yeah, for sure.
Because I this is something that's been big on me for a while, because that feeling that I get that stirs up, I don't like it, and I want to explore what that is when I feel that. And if that's jealousy, that insecurity, that comparison. And I don't know why we get like that. And if it is that insecurity, then let's call it out, and let's look at ourselves instead of everybody else. As I'm seeing this pro basketball player, I think it was a girl from Phoenix, her name's Diana, she had a message for Caitlin Clark. You think it's going to be positive or negative? Another woman, professional basketball player, what do you think she's going to say about Caitlin Clark?
I don't know.
She said, reality is coming. You look superhuman playing against some 18-year-olds, but you're going to come to play with some grown women that have been playing professional basketball for a long time. And talking trash.
Yeah.
So obviously that's not going to be a positive message, encouraging and welcoming. But here's what I want to do too, is the comparison, even with our teenage girls. I see it as a 47-year-old man, me comparing myself to something else. And I then go, well, girls need to, you know, our teenage girls need to stop comparing. Wait, hold on. I'm doing the same thing. So why don't I explore my own heart too? So I figured that we could kind of open this up and talk about comparison, jealousy, envy, wanting something that somebody else has so bad that we're willing just to be ugly about it.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I think it's interesting when women, like this quote from this woman who plays in the WNBA, I think that's so interesting because women historically, like, didn't always have these kinds of opportunities, right? The WNBA was not a thing, and women had to fight for this opportunity to play this sport at a professional level. And why are you going to like put down somebody who's bringing more attention to this sport than it's had in a long time? Like, she's getting to come play at a professional level because of the groundwork that was laid from women decades ago.
Yeah.
So I guess I always feel like as women, like we should be celebrating other women because of the positions that they have. So I got no room in my life for whoever this girl is. I mean, she's probably right. Like Caitlin Clark, as good as she is going to have a wake up call.
Right. And different competition.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think that was from
that
a place.
That was not her place to say that. Celebrate her. And right. I mean, I can't wait to play against her.
Right.
And let her learn that on her own. Let her coaches be the one to be like, hey, Caitlin, you need to like have a little reality check.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to be hard. That's not your job. Your job is to celebrate each other.
Right.
So, no, I think there's something, you know, I just think unfortunately, we are so prone to just like see what we lack, right? We might not even know we're insecure about a specific thing until we see it in someone else. And we're like, oh, I don't have that. I'm not good at that. I can't do what they do. So it's like, almost it's like innate there, but I don't know. How do you, as a grown person who's had these habits your whole life. Right. Like, how do you change that, like, thought process?
Because it does happen on our day to day. It does. I mean, social media, of course, you look through social media, things that's people huge. Have and things that you want. And of course, it comes down to a lot of it is going to be very shallow stuff. Things well, that like, other people have or.
Yeah. I mean, they're not showing you their empty pantry.
Yeah,
you know what I'm true. Saying? Like, they're not showing you their bank accounts. You know, they're, right. they're, it is. I think this generation is getting harder and harder to fight that comparison, like trap. I would say comparison is a trap
is,
that
yeah.
we fall into.
Yeah, big time.
And then it holds us.
Yes.
We are the ones that are trapped, not the other person. But with social media, I mean, you don't see the piles of laundry. You don't see the struggle that people went through to get to, you don't see the contracts where people are like, I'll give you $1,000 worth of these gummy snacks. You know, if you just like tell people to buy my gummy snacks, right, you know what I mean? Right. We don't see that the back.
Right. And I wonder though, even if that we should even get into that to where a point where we. Right when our comparison starts, we know that it's not going to lead to good. It's only going to get deeper into the bad. So I wonder if even if we don't even go through that process, but right when we start feeling that comparison, what can we do other than, you know, stop and be aware that that's something that we're doing?
Yeah.
Because we do. We subconsciously, we just go through and we look at other things. And then at the end of the day, we can feel exhausted because we're not where we want to
right.
be because we saw what everybody else is doing.
Right.
We don't even know where we want to be. And I wonder if that's the first thing that you need to do is go, who do I want to be? Not who
sure.
do I want to be because I saw her or him, but who do I want to be as a man by myself right here? I want to be, you know, what?
Well, President Theodore Roosevelt is the first one that said, people often think it's from the Bible, but it's from him. He said, comparison is the thief of joy.
Yes.
And I think that if we could truly understand that if I am constantly comparing myself to other people, like I'm the one stealing my own joy.
Yeah.
You know, I think you talked about getting to the end of the day and realizing I'd done that. Like every minute that you spend wanting what somebody else has is a minute that you could have been spending earning it yourself or growing as a person. And I think if we could truly understand that joy isn't in having what that person has, but if we can truly train ourselves to not focus so much on our lack of it, like
yes.
the joy isn't going to come by buying that thing.
Right.
The joy isn't going to come by having that athletic ability.
Right.
The joy doesn't come by looking good in those jeans. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That joy is going to come when we can be content with the things that we have. But it is a mind game, right? I mean, it's a constant mind game. It's a constant seeing something somebody else has and really like praying through, like, why do I feel like I have to have that? I think we take it sometimes to the next level, like this. I mean, not to throw this basketball player under the bus, but I'm going to a little bit because she was being a little bit salty and she didn't need to be. But if you leave that comparison unchecked, then it starts to become like almost resentment. And that's when you start to see people then like finding a reason to like put down that person that they are jealous of.
Yes.
And it just goes down this deeper, darker hole. That's not just, oh man, you know, like when your kid's five and they're walking through the store, like, I wish I had that candy, you know,
yeah.
it becomes more than that. It now becomes like you're treating people badly because ultimately you feel less than
yes.
because of something that they have. And so if you really don't want to leave it unchecked.
No. And if you leave it unchecked, it's almost justifiable in your own mind for some reason. And you know, we sit and we do this and we think, okay, yeah, well, it's obvious that person has something. Yeah, obviously I want that something. But I think it becomes more than that. And I think we start to compare even our self-worth.
Yeah.
Like if I don't have that, then I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
It's not just I want that, I desire it, and it's okay that I don't, and one day I'll have it, I'll move on. That's probably the more healthy way of going about that versus sitting and judging your self-worth, that you aren't worth it until you get to that point where someone else is,
right.
because that's what you think you want that somebody else has. And you're never going to get to that point. And it's just the truth. And it is a cycle that is nonstop. It continues on, and there's a new one every day that you can compare to, whether it's a person or a thing or something you see or you want. You're always going to be craving that if that's the way that your mindset is. But to be content with your own self, though, even if you're not making money, if you're not at a place that you want to be, if maybe you're not in the relationship that you want, you're having struggles left and right, man. It just seems like anybody else's life would be better.
Yeah.
But then I think about that quote from the Bible where Paul was in jail and talking about contentment.
Yeah.
How does that go?
Well, I think the verse you're talking about is Paul, who he wrote most of a lot of the New Testament. He was very influential in the church becoming what it is today. So he's a very influential man and wrote a lot of the New Testament. But he also spent a lot of time because he was, you know, he was going to places that were not really open to hearing about Jesus. Yeah. So he spent a lot of time in prison. He got beaten. He spent years in prison one time, 2 years, just because the governor was like, I don't really want to deal with him. Like, I don't really know that he did anything wrong. I just don't want to deal with it. So here, I mean, he's been treated unfairly. He's lived in really rough conditions. And he says in the book of Philippians chapter 4, he says, verse 11, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. So he learned that his joy was not based on what he had.
Or what other people had.
His joy was not based on what other people had. It wasn't based on whether or not he had a bed to sleep in. Mm-hmm. It wasn't based on whether he was literally living in prison, getting fed a piece of bread a day, or he was feasting with government officials. Like his joy was not found in that. His contentment was not found in that. Then that last verse, I think, is what's so important. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I think we have to just acknowledge, I mean, thankfully, we're not facing prison. We're not facing, accused of something we didn't do and rotting in a jail cell underneath, you know, in a cave, a deep, dark cave in the Roman Empire. Like, we're not facing those things. But like we said, comparison is the thief of joy. Like, we are facing a prison of sorts. Like, when we compare ourselves and we're constantly wanting more, like, we are imprisoning ourselves and our thoughts, and we're not able to fully enjoy like the life that God has given us. So I think what he does is he reaches out to God and says, like, it's not like I would choose the prison, but if I'm here, I'm just going to ask you to give me strength. And yes, I'm going to know that I can endure whatever you have for me or whatever life has for me, if you'll give me strength. So we don't always think about that. Like, it doesn't feel like I need God for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is a first world problem, is to feel like, you know, oh no, I'm so sad that I don't have those shoes. Right. You know what I mean? So I think it would be good for us to, first, I think when those thoughts come up, to just say, God, help me. Like, yes, I'm almost embarrassed that I'm still dealing with this, but God just wants to help. You don't have to be embarrassed. You don't have to feel shame. God, would you just help me again? Would you just help me one more time? Would you just give me the strength? And then I think we take the next step and just like replace those thoughts. Like, what the lie is that I'm not good enough because I don't have that. So we need to replace it with the truth. Mm. The truth is, I am worthy. God, Christ did die for me. Like, Christ loves me enough to give his whole life for me. I am created in his image. I have worth. He has given me gifts. The Bible says that everyone has received a gift. Like, God has given me all these things. I have a family. You just remind yourself of all the things that you do have. So replace that lie somehow with the truth. And just again, I feel like we say this all the time, but it's so true. Like, it is a process.
Yeah.
I wish I could say that I mastered contentment and never had to think about it ever again. That's just not true.
Yeah.
It's something for the rest of our lives.
And even changing the definition in your own mind about contentment, because contentment can sound like lazy. Contentment can sound I'm fine with the way it is, so I'm not going to work any harder. I'm content with this. But I've taken it so much different. That was my thought before I heard Sean talk about this on Sunday once. And this was early when I was coming to church 5 years ago or so. And when he was talking about it, it just hit me. And there's times in church that they just hit you, don't they? Right in the heart. It was directed just for you. God, like, spoke right to you. And something changes. And that whole verse right there, looking at the word contentment, changed to where I was focusing so much on my situation at hand versus God. And if I focus on everything I don't have, then that's all I'm going to see. And if I focus on everything I do have, sometimes it goes into, but I don't have. So why not I just not focus on any of that stuff and just be content with my one-on-one with God, no matter what situation I'm in. And if we can get to that point through practice, I think that that's such a cool place to be, because you can almost feel it in some places where you're content. You're like, I don't really care where I am. I don't care what I have. I just know that I'm in God's presence right now. And that's enough for me. I'm content with that. And if we could make that last through the situations that are rough or the times that are hard, and we know all the other stuff, that provisions are going to be happening, God's going to take care of me through this, and I don't need to have what that person has. I have what I have, and God has made me just exactly how he wants me to be.
Yeah.
And so if we can get into that mindset that we are content with everything that we have, then I think comparison changes. Then we just stop.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like it's one of those muscles that you just have to work out, that you just have to use on a regular basis, so that when it comes to a hard time, that muscle's already in shape.
Yeah.
It's already in the right shape to be able to respond. You know, I was in the car the other day, and I laid down and I took a nap. Like, I leaned against the
driving?
Window. No, oh. I was in the backseat. And I leaned against the window and took a nap. Well, it was maybe 30 minutes, but it was in one position, my neck to the side. And when I woke up, I was like, oh, I can't use this neck muscle anymore, because... you know what I mean? Let it sit in the wrong position, and then I couldn't use it for like everyday use. So I feel like contentment's the same way, that if we let ourselves just sit in that gross comparison trap, if we let ourselves sit in the jealousy for a little bit or in the greed, whatever it is, then, you know, we're going to wake up after a short while and be like, oh, I don't even, that muscle is stuck in the wrong spot. And now my job's going to be harder.
Yes.
So you work the muscle out now. You practice being content now, so that when you need that muscle, it's ready to go.
Right. And when you say, what does that contentment look like? Because my contentment right now is sitting in comparison. That's where you bust out the word. And that's when you start reading. And I think that that's when things start to change.
Yeah. Agree. I need some good news, baby.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Your wrap up is brought to you by Trinity Chiropractic. Here's Beth with your wrap up.
Well, as we talk about comparison, I can't help but think about this verse that Paul writes in the book of Romans. And he's talking to the church in Rome, and he's saying, listen, we're all on the same team. We're all in this together. We're all basically part of one body. And there's a lot of times in the Bible where they refer to the church as a body. And it's basically saying, like in your body, in my body, my fingers have their own function. My heart has a different function. My lungs have a different function. But every part of the body has to be in working order in order for it to accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish. And he's talking about that. He's talking about the church. But he says, in this way, it's in Romans chapter 12, verse 4, we're all like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. My value isn't based on how good I am, but in my connection to the rest of this body, the connection with other people. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? And he's trying to say, listen, don't disconnect from the body. Like, if you're cut off, like, what good is this cut off toe? And I would argue, if we are going to cut other people down, like, what good are they? And are they able to accomplish their purpose if we are out of greed or jealousy cutting other people down? He says, so since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts of Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. You know what? Let's just not do that. Let's not cut other people down. Let's not try to somehow make them feel bad for the lack that I feel in myself. How about this? How about I just be what I was created to be, and you just be what you were created to be? And that's where we find that true contentment in walking in the life that God has created for us, not the life he's created for somebody else. I'm Beth, and that's your wrap-up. I need some good news, baby.
Give it to me. Give it to me. This is the Matt and Beth Show.
All the other episodes are at themattandbethshow.com.
Bye, everybody.
No. A diuretic.
Dehydrate you.
Okay, sure. Like, it makes you pee. Like it
a diuretic does.
It makes the water just go from as you drink it out your body.
You know what's funny is that when you talk right? like that, I can tell when you're not confident in what you're saying.
I'm only kind of confident in that.
So diuretic is not the word that I'm looking for. So we're trying to find the LDHC. What does that mean? Why am I holding a pamphlet that says it and all this
Lincoln
reading material?
Something Health Center.
Yes. It's not digestive.
Stop. I was right there.
I'm sorry. I know you were right there, but I wanted to help. I wanted to be on your team. I like being on your team. Sorry.
But you already knew the answer. It wasn't a game anymore. It was just you passing information.
You ruined it, Matt. You ruined it. You know what this is for?
I got 3 out of 4.
You know what this is for? Colonoscopy. Like the full-on past 45, the health insurance will cover. You know it's bad when health insurance covers it.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, I don't know. And everybody talks about this juice that you got to drink.
Right.
Do you know anything about this?
Well, I mean, I know a little bit about it, but I'm not quite 45, so.
Close enough.
Yeah, when you're my age, you don't even have to worry about stuff like that. That seems so far off. Like, that's really way down the road.
Does it really
I don't even have to.
No, does it,
no,
though?
No, it's dangerously close.
Okay, and
it's
so how do you feel? How do you feel when I say that?
Well, I mean, I still got a couple years, so I don't really think I need to feel feelings about it yet.
I kind of think you do, because I remember when I was 40.
Okay.
I remember when I was 41.
40. Okay, good.
41? 42? 42?
Yeah.
Wow. I know. You look literally like you're 30.
Like 41.
No, you do look 30.
You don't look a day over 41.
You tell the people at the LDHC place that you're 30 and you've got 15 years. Don't even give them your ID. So, like, you got to drink all. So, here's what they set you up. Like, Carrie's like, you got to read this stuff. I'm like, that's just a pamphlet. It's like what they send to everybody.
Yeah,
no, no,
it's
no.
It's like HIPAA, right?
Right. I'm like, who cares? I'm just going to sign the end of it. It's like an Apple contract. So there's so much information in this stuff, like medications that you have to stop taking, certain things you have to do beforehand. You have to fast for a certain amount of time. All clear liquid. And I had to say, is DMD clear liquid?
How clear are we talking?
Right, right. How say? Clear? I haven't answered that.
You haven't read it, so you don't know.
Well, I read it. I wrote that on my notes next to it.
Gotcha.
So then the drink is what people talk about, though.
Yeah.
So why? Why do people talk about the drink? What's wrong with the drink? Does it taste bad?
I don't know, because I never tasted it. I think that, I don't know why they complain about it. I think it's because it tastes bad, and does it make you, like, go to the bathroom?
Yeah, you have to clean everything out.
Well, why wouldn't they complain about that?
But aren't you, I mean, that's
when is it? Are we going to get some anesthesia post-colonoscopy anesthesia videos?
What do you mean?
Like, is Carrie going to take you?
They put you out?
Yeah.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh, that's better. I thought I was going to be awake the whole time.
No, they get some good videos. I took a friend to a colonoscopy years ago. I mean, I don't even know if I was 30 yet. So, you know, it was really far
away
from me.
We get it. We get it. You're young.
And I drove her there. She came out of the anesthesia or whatever. And she told me, you know, I feel good. She's like, Ron said when he took Kathy for her colonoscopy, that Kathy just kept telling the same story over and over again. She'd doze for a minute. She'd wake up. Man, I feel good. You know, Ron said when Kathy got hers, she just kept saying the same story over and over again.
That's so funny.
It was just so funny. I got the same story 4 or 5 times. But
that's so nice.
Anyway,
Ron said
so
that.
Is Carrie going to take you? I mean, if Carrie could take you and get us some video,
okay.
I know the world would love to see some
okay.
of that.
Well, let me tell you this: if I can get video, I'll get video. Of
okay,
it.
Good.
During the whole process too, I'll see if they can
film
the whole
procedure.
Well,
I don't
procedure.
Think anybody cares about that. No. We want we want just the drug effects, please.
It's very
important.
Are
you guys going together? Do you both need one?
She's getting one too. Yeah.
Oh,
so I think
it's cute.
Like a couple
it's like
massage.
A couple massage.
Without the cabana. You guys, could you get us a drink with an umbrella?
They bring that liquid, the weird milky, malty liquid you have to drink with a little umbrella.
It's in a coconut. Oh, that's good.
So when is it? What are we talking about? Like this week? Next week?
Gotta get that one down too. Okay, here we go. May 7th. Wow, that's creeping up quick. It's less than a month away. Yeah.
Here it comes. Now, do you, how long do you have to fast? Like about 20, 21 days?
20
or?
Minutes. procedure time 9:50, May 7th. I know this is important because it's highlighted. Please check in 45 minutes prior to your procedure time.
Okay.
Why is that always a thing? Because you guys show up 45 minutes past my procedure time.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you tell me show up 45 minutes late?
If you show up 45 minutes late, you're not going to get any drugs.
You're right. Good call. Oh, that's what happened with pregnancy, huh? Isn't it if you're too late?
Oh,
you've never had it. You've never had to like, you missed your.
Mm-mm. I was induced with all of them. So I literally just like, let's go to the hospital and have a baby now. Weird. I feel fine. But when
you
I
had all of
in
your
set bit,
up, like time, like come in at 10 o'clock
just,
on Tuesday.
None of them, they were happy in there. They didn't feel like they needed to come out on their own.
Why do you think that is?
Well, three of them were in the winter and they knew it was going to be real cold outside.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you have so many winter babies?
I don't know.
Like
I
what is 9 months before winter babies? Anniversary?
No. No.
Your anniversary is in December.
Yeah.
Okay. Just trying to do some math. Just trying to do the math. 5 days prior. So I have to go 5 days fasting.
No, you don't. What do you do 5 days? Stop taking medication.
That's right. 5 days without medication. anti-inflammatory medication as well.
No ibuprofen.
No ibuprofen.
Yeah.
Wow. What, do you work here? Have you read this thing before?
I just know anti-inflammatory is ibuprofen.
And let me ask you this. Do you know what naproxen is? The name that the brand name of naproxen is?
Is it Aleve?
She has read this. She's also a doctor. So that's held for 5 days. All over-the-counter vitamins and supplements, including fish oil and iron, must be held for 5 days prior to the procedure. No flaxseed.
What are you going to do without your fish oil and flax seeds, Matt?
Listen, I take fish
when
oil
daily. When I think
daily.
About Matt's diet, I typically think of fish oil and flax seeds.
You should.
Do they know what a flaxseed nut you are? I can't go a day without it.
I don't care how much of the drink I have. It's not getting rid of all the flax
They're
seeds.
They're sticking around.
So that and then... Wait,
I'm really glad we could get together so you could read this paperwork. I'm really glad I could be here for this.